I entitled our lesson this morning, Do We Get Him? And it comes primarily from the two commercials that were on the Super Bowl, two commercials that started with the idea of He Gets Us. And I just wanted to share a thought with you about that. Without going into detail, I've ordered the book and I'm reading it, looking forward to seeing exactly where all of it is coming from and where it's going. But I get that I think we all understand that He gets us. Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. He lived in this world. He lived in this world as a human being, and yet He never sinned. He knows us. God knows us. He created us. I really don't have a problem with the idea of He gets us. The concern is, do I get Him? And do we get Him? And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to look at this story today, primarily the story of Jonah. But we will get into the book of Nahum, because the book of Nahum is the sequel to the book of Jonah. They are both about a city by the name of Nineveh that was a part of the Syrian Empire. And so we'll take a look at both of those. We're going to, first of all, go to the book of Jonah. But in telling the story of Jonah, I want us, from our viewpoint and our vantage point, to think about some things. This man, Jonah, was not afraid to run away from God because he didn't like what God was doing. He didn't like what he understood God was going to do. And he had no problem whatsoever running away from him. One of the problems with Jonah and with the rest of the Israelite nation was that they gradually exchanged a relationship for God for a religious ritual. And God became absolutely frustrated and angry at their ritual. And so many different times in the prophets, God will say, I wish somebody would shut the doors to your temple. I wish somebody would stop you from offering sacrifices. Because the idea of coming to the temple and the idea of offering sacrifices had become, for them, a ritual. We could go offer the sacrifices and then we're fine. Then we can go out and live our life the way we want to live it. They could go from offering sacrifices to God and then go and offer sacrifices to other idols and then do whatever they wanted to do in life. And sometimes we make worship, as Glenn was talking about this morning, a ritual. We need to come take the Lord's Supper. We need to come because it's the first day of the week. We need to come because the church is meeting. We need to go. But it makes no difference in the way we live, the way we think, and what we do. And that's a lot of the story behind the book of Jonah. So let's go through the story. If you want to turn in your Bibles to it, you can. And for some reason, my clicker is not working. There it goes. Did I do that? Or you did it? Are you going to have to do it all the way through? Yes. For some reason, it's not working. Okay. This is going to go quick. Just put all the screen up for the first part. And this is going to be us telling the story as we go through. God comes to Jonah and he says to him, go to Nineveh and call out against it. Does that seem to you to be a positive message or a negative message? Does that seem to you to be a message where Jonah is going to go to Nineveh and call out against it, meaning condemn the city of Nineveh? That's exactly what it sounds like. And it's going to occur that way as we go through it. But Jonah doesn't see it that way. He understands why God wants the warning given. He understands why God wants Nineveh to be called out. He knows what God's up to. He knows what God's wanting to do. And because he knows what God's wanting to do, he heads to Tarshish. a city where we don't really have a good handle on exactly where it is, but it seems to be at the farthest end of the Mediterranean Sea, as far away from Nineveh as you can possibly get. So he boards a ship in Joppa, hoping to go on his way to Tarshish. But God delivers a storm. Every single thing that's going to occur in the book of Jonah is something delivered by God. And the storm is one of them. He delivers the storm where they are afraid that the ship is going to be torn to pieces. Everybody is terrified except for Jonah. Jonah is down in the middle of the ship and he's sound asleep. When they find out that he's down there, sound asleep, they wake him up and say, "How in the world can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Perhaps your God will listen to us. Our gods aren't listening to us. Perhaps your God will listen to you." And so the pagans on board the ship decide to cast lots. They decide to cast lots to figure out which God is angry at who. They cast the lots and the lot falls to Jonah. So they ask him, "Who are you? Where do you come from? What people do you belong to? Who is the God that you worship?" And he answers the questions. He's an Israelite. He worships Jehovah. He worships the God who made the heavens and the earth. When they heard all of that, they were terrified. And they asked him, "What do we need to do in order to stop this storm?" And he said, "Throw me into the sea. And then you will be rescued and the storm will stop." But they don't listen. The pagans want to save his life. The pagans do everything they can to keep from throwing him overboard. And they continue to lighten all the weight that is on the ship. And the pagans are doing everything that they can to save this man's life, but the storm keeps getting worse and worse and worse until finally they decide there is no other way. And they offer a prayer to God. "Don't hold what we're about to do against us. And don't let us be guilty of innocent blood." These are the pagans. These are the ones who don't believe in God, in opposition to the man who says that he's a prophet of God, in opposition to the attitude of the man who refuses to go to Nineveh because he doesn't want those people saved. But these are the pagans, and they want him saved. And as soon as they throw him overboard, at his own request, storm stops. And what do the pagans do? They offer sacrifices to the God of heaven. They make vows to the God of heaven. Things change. Things change with them. We don't know for how long, but we're hopeful for the rest of their lives. But they made changes. So God appointed a fish. Just like he made the storm, now he appoints a fish. And the fish swallows Jonah and takes him into the depths of the sea. There he stays for 3 days and for 3 nights and he prays. And he asks God to forgive him. And he's ready to go to Nineveh. But not with a heart and an attitude that he needs to have. But he comes to the city of Nineveh. And when he comes to the city of Nineveh and he comes into the middle of it, he gives his message. "Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown." There's the message. There's the positive message that God wanted him to deliver. 40 days and Nineveh's done. 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. And the pagans in the city begin to make some changes. And especially the king of the city. The king of the city takes off his royal robes and clothes himself in sackcloth and ashes. And he gives instructions to all of the people of Nineveh for them to put on sackcloth and ashes, for them not to eat anything or to drink anything, for them not to allow their animals to eat anything or to drink anything, and for all of them to pray to God, and for all of them to change their behavior. Stop doing the things that you're doing that are wrong. Stop doing the things that you're doing that are contrary. And so these people, maybe they'd heard about Israel. They helped rescue Israel. Maybe they knew something about this God. But they knew something about this God that was totally different from theirs. And they were encouraged by the king to put aside everything that they were doing that was wrong. These are the pagans of the city. Without any instruction from Jonah as to what to do. The only instruction from Jonah was 40 days and you're gone. 40 days and it's over. And they respond to that message and they turn around their lives. They change the way they're conducting themselves and they change the way they believe. Jonah goes out to the city. The 40 days come and go, evidently, and nothing happens. And then Jonah becomes angry. He becomes angry because God has not destroyed Nineveh. He's sitting under a shade and he's comforted by that shade, and God decides to add to his comfort. And God causes a plant to grow up overnight to shade him from the sun. And he's so grateful for the shade of the plant that God has made to come up. He delights in that plant. And then the next day, God sends a worm. And the worm destroys the plant. And Jonah is furious. And he is angry. And God comes to him and says to him, "Do you have a right to be angry?" And Jonah says, "Yes, I have every right to be angry, even to the point of death." And God says, "You didn't make that plant. You had nothing to do with it. It came up in a day, and it left in a day. And none of it was by your hand. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?" I wish we had a conclusion for Jonah. I wish we knew what the rest of his life was like. But if he wrote this book, surely it changed. And surely in the book, he's telling us why his life changed. Here is God forgiving the pagans. Here is God welcoming the pagans. Here is God not destroying Nineveh. 100 years later, another book is written. And the other book is the book of Nahum. I'm going to put up some verses. We're not going to read all three chapters. We're just going to select a few verses. One's already been read for us. It was the one in chapter 1. It may have been about 100 years after Jonah that the book of Nahum is written. Could be closer to 130. It's about 60 years after Israel has already gone into captivity. Jonah knew that was coming. Jonah knew Nineveh would be the city that would cause that. And now it's 60 years after the fact of Israel having gone into captivity. And it's about 40 years before the Babylonians are going to come and defeat the Assyrians, the people of Nineveh, and then eventually come and destroy the tribe of Judah and the southern kingdom of Israel. God writes this, "An oracle concerning Nineveh." The whole book of Nahum is about Nineveh, and it's written about Nineveh. "The book of the vision of Nahum of Elkosh. The Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries and keeps wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and the Lord will by no means clear the guilty." He got them. Did they get him? "Woe to the bloody city, all full of lies and plunder. no end to the prey. The crack of the whip and rumble of the wheel, galloping horse and bounding chariot. Horsemen charging, flashing sword and glittering spear, host of slain, heaps of corpses, dead bodies without end, they stumble over the bodies. And all for the countless whorings of the prostitute, graceful and of deadly charms, who betrays nations with her whorings and peoples with her charms. The great prostitute is Nineveh. All the destruction is the city, is what's going on in the city of Nineveh when the Babylonians come against it and destroy it. All of the dead are the people of Nineveh. Then this one. Your shepherds are asleep, O king of Assyria. Nineveh is its capital. Your nobles slumber. Your people are scattered on the mountains with none to gather them. There is no easing your hurt. Your wound is grievous. All who hear the news about you clap their hands over you. For upon whom has not come your unceasing evil? An evil that never stopped. An evil that never went away. And so God is asking the question, who has not been hurt by all the unceasing evil that you've been a part of? I have a question. What happened to their repentance? What happened to those people who were there when Jonah said, yet 40 days? And then they changed their life. They changed their actions. They changed their belief system. And they turned toward the God of heaven. We're not told. So what could it have been? Could it have been that after 40 days, nothing happened? And when nothing happened after 40 days, instead of saying God changed his mind, did they begin to think and say, well, that prophet didn't know what he was talking about? Could that have been what occurred? Not realizing the blessings of God, they just decided it was all something that a crazy man made up, a man that smelled like fish, came to the city. We probably should have been wondering about him to begin with. Is that what happened? Or was it because they had a change in kingship? They do have a change in kingship. And the man who becomes the next king takes Assyria to the horrible nation it becomes. And this king that comes next is cruel. He gets rid of all of his adversaries that don't see things his way. And he becomes a very cruel king that leads the Assyrians to be a very cruel people and a very cruel empire. Could it have been that all those who held faith in the one true God, who held faith in Jehovah, were put to death because of what they believed? And because of what they refused to do. And therefore they were put to death, those that had become faithful to God by the words that Jonah had delivered to them. Is that what happened? Or is it just the time those individuals died off and they're no longer alive? I have no idea. But any of them could have been the case. They stopped listening to God. They stopped paying attention to what he said. And the key to everything said in the book of Jonah and the key to the book of Nahum is when people listen, pay attention to what God says, and take action regarding what God says, things go well. Things change. But when people don't listen, people stop paying attention. They treat it as a ritual, but they do whatever they want to do. Irregardless of what God might say, things go badly. And here in this book, the book of Nahum and the book of Jonah together, we get it. God gets us. We need to make sure we get him. We need to make sure we understand him. Because he most definitely understands us, even better than we understand ourselves. There may be some here this morning who are ready to become a Christian. Believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you're ready to be immersed in Him, to go through that death to yourself and begin that new life in Him. There may be some who need to come home to Him. If you need to respond to His invitation this morning, we offer it to you as together we stand and as we sing.